Surprise, it's me, Cat Lady Justin, and this is a recording of The Kitty Boss. If you're tuning in live, it's because we're recording this live, because this is our monthly catch-up with Dr. Rachel Geller, our cat behaviorist friend, that we do it on a monthly basis, which is so cool. Maybe cool to do more, but hey. So I will introduce her now that I've introduced her. Today we'll be talking about some interesting things that have come up this week. So I'll add Dr. Rachel Geller, welcome her, and hopefully we'll get some people tuning in. Hi, welcome. Dave. I just did a quick intro because I thought what we'd talk about today is something that is a few things that came up this week. So I thought we'd talk a little bit more about teeth, because I'm on a teeth kick now on social media for cats, of course, not your teeth. But then a lady asked me a very interesting question on Instagram, and I answered her, and I think I answered her well, but I also suggested, you know, you and of course the Cat Behavior Alliance if she needed behavior support. But I said, well, before we go there, let me see if I could tackle. So we'll talk a little bit about what she asked, and so if that's okay, welcome to the show. First and foremost.
That sounds great. I feel very welcomed, and so let's get started.
Yeah, and as you're wearing a cat shirt, it might not look like I'm wearing a cat shirt, but if I stand up, you can see that I am wearing a not only Tom and Jerry, but I'm wearing Sylvester and Tweety. So, of course, forget the mouse and the bird. What's important are the cats. So I am wearing a cat shirt, and I love this shirt because I like cats. It's not particularly Tom and Jerry or Sylvester, but I just like cats. So something interesting happened today, which is one of the local counselors, which is a politician here that's not paid, like a local counselor, posted a local cat shelter. There's this really beautiful cat named Milo that needs to be adopted. And in fact, he was close to being adopted. Excuse me. And it somehow fell through. And he's a big kitten. So he's a kitten, but still he's a grown kitten. He's about not to be a kitten. And apparently it was about to be adopted and it fell through, and it's so sad. And she says, he's the friendliest kitten in the shelter. He'll be your companion, your lap cat. I said, look, if Emily wouldn't like totally be upset by another cat, I would totally adopt him. So I was really kind of sad, but so I shared it everywhere. And I think potentially one of my friends who's actually in the kitty, so he might be listening today, actually, he might potentially look at adopting him because he's currently without cat for private reasons, but he's currently without cat and he loves cats as much as we do. So it'd be really, really awesome. You never know, obviously, you know, we always suggest you let the cat pick you. So you walk in and the chemistry's wrong. I don't suggest adopting that unless you want an uphill battle. But on the other hand, if you're too busy and all that, just, you know, let it pick you. So it may just be some divine timing and they might be like a perfect match, but you never know. So I'm hoping. I'm always a bit like, you know, an optimist like that. So that's kind of an interesting thing that happened.
Yeah, I did see that post and I liked it as well.
Yeah.
And, that kitty had the cutest little paws too.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you see, saw that then?
Yes, I did. Yes, I'm hoping that he'll find a home. He was just too cute to not find a home.
Yeah, and so what I was going to talk to you about today is a little bit more about teeth.
Okay.
Because one of the things that we suggest is obviously gradually, you know, exposing them to teeth. But that's kind of like with everything. When you introduce a new cat to the house, you do it gradually. New routine, gradually. So everything's gradual with cats. But with the teeth, it's also really important because the brushes can actually damage, you know, hurt and make it bleed. So you don't want to straight away introduce some kind of stiff bristle brush in a cat's mouth. So the best thing to do is to start really gradually with different things, like, you know, maybe just your finger at first and then just gently rubbing. And then they have these little like things that look like towel that fits around your finger and then rub that around. And then they have these little brushes that are like are silicone. And then they have these rather soft conical shaped brushes that get in there and you can get, you know, under the gums and prevent the tartar and all that. And that's really nice too, but that's almost like a few steps down the road. And so that's kind of one thing that comes up. Of course, another thing that's come up is choosing a toothpaste, which is obviously human toothpaste can be deadly if it has like xylitol or other things in it. So you want to make sure it's a cat toothpaste. That comes up. And of course, I said always start with a clean, comfortable, and healthy mouth, because once there's, you know, disease in there, they need professional help. So you want to, before you start this routine, you want to make sure the cat's, you know, not in pain. And then, of course, there's the final step, which I think is the more behavioral aspect of it, which is repeat and reward. Because like with everything with cats, they don't respond well to punishment. They really just become afraid of you. Right. So you want to reinforce this with obviously repetition of the toothbrushing daily, but also rewarding them. And it seems a little bit sometimes nonsensical to say, oh, I'm going to give it a treat right after I brushed its teeth. You wouldn't have a piece of candy after you brush your teeth. But you kind of have to do that with a cat at first, don't you? What do you think?
I do. You made that such a good point when you said that cats don't respond to punishment. They really don't. They don't. Cats don't think in terms of right or wrong the way that we do. So if a cat isn't responding to you brushing her teeth, it's not because she's morally, you know, trying to do the bad thing. It's just because something doesn't feel right. She's afraid of it. It feels unpleasant. And she's responding to that feeling as a cat, not the way a person would. So punishment just makes your cats even more confused and even more fearful. But if you give your cat a reason to like her new behavior, that's the way to go. So reward, something positive, a treat is a great example of a reward. Some people's cats love to be brushed. If you have a cat that finds that rewarding, that can suffice as well. But really important to go slowly, as you said, be very incremental, reward as the cat is behaving the way you want her to, and definitely refrain from punishments. When you use something like a spray bottle, all you're going to do is get a wet cat who doesn't trust you.
Oh, yeah. I even forgot about those things because it's just so like, why? You know? Yeah. But some people recommend, I've heard it recommended, oh, use a spray bottle to keep the cat off the counter. I'm like, really? Your cat's just going to be afraid of you.
Yes,
they might stay off the counter, but they'll love you less.
You know what? They probably won't even stay off the counter. So you're just going to get a wet cat who loves you less. You're just going to wait for the next time you're not looking to jump up there again. So totally Yes.
Yeah, actually, that's true. Yeah, they'll be afraid of you. So when you're watching, they won't go on the counter. Right. But as soon as you go to bed or whatever, they'll be straight on there. So because they don't associate that. They don't associate that at all.
They do not.
And, you know, and it reminds me actually of, I've got this... got a pretty nice garden and it's pretty big, but I've got an infestation of caterpillars, but not the good kind, eating my box hedges, and I have it trimmed kind of like a French, you know, formal garden where it lines these things. So it can be really pretty, but not when it's infested and infected with these caterpillars that have eaten and destroyed them and killing it, and their webs are everywhere. So you can poison them, which is really not good, because it's actually also poisonous for the cats, and then I can't take them. And they're minor indoors, but they do go out with me and they like it. So I'd have to spend weeks with them not getting out in the middle of the summer, because I have to handle this in the next week or two. Otherwise it'll get out of hand and kill them. So, but I found an interesting solution for anybody who has this problem, for example, and has cats that go outside or doesn't want to use deadly chemicals in their garden. I found that, and I haven't tried it yet, so I'm going to try it as soon as it arrives. Neem oil, N-E-E-M, neem oil. I've heard it from Ayurvedic medicine, but it's also pretty common. Mixed with a gallon of water and generously sprayed on the plant will actually kill and destroy the worms or the caterpillars. And it's not dangerous to cats. It's not deadly to them. It's not deadly to other wildlife. So remember that poison that you've killed the caterpillar with, I mean, that'll also kill the butterflies, kill the bees, kill anything else. So I'm not keen on that. So I'm quite happy that I found that, and I'm hoping it works, because that would be so good. Because if we go in there and we spray this stuff and I've got a solution to this problem that's not poisonous, I'll be very, very happy. So I don't know if you've ever heard of this. I mean, if you even live in a house, maybe you're in an apartment. So.
I live in a house. I haven't heard of that particular brand, but I don't have that problem either. So
you'll have okay. It's not a brand. Neem is a kind of plant, the neem tree. It's from India. So I found on Amazon, these companies actually already pre-mix it. So you don't have to mix the oil in this. You just kind of pour this solution into a gallon of water or three gallons of water, and then you have it already made. So I think that's what I found. But if you can't find it and you just need the solution, you just get some neem oil and you put 100 milliliters, I think, per gallon. And it sounds like a lot, but it goes a long way. And then you don't have a toxic solution. You have a non-toxic solution to this issue. So that reminds me of that, because I prefer non-toxic stuff, don't you?
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
Yeah. And so there's that thing. So let me share with you what this lady on Instagram posed as her sort of problem and looking for suggestions. Because I'd made a post, and I don't know if you saw it, because it was a number of weeks ago. For some reason, some old posts are getting attention now, along with some live videos I did. I can't believe how many people keep going back to this cute video I posted on there only, you know, a week or two ago. But I know I have to be happy because it's my cats. Yeah. You know? But anyway, so she posted a post. She brought a new cat home, and it started spraying, and the spraying sounds like it's gotten out of hand. So I don't know if you're listening, but you didn't say it, but it sounds like it's getting out of hand. And you want, and the question was, you know, why or how can I, you know, stop this behavior? And the post I'd put was reasons, you know, several reasons that cats might be spraying. And, you know, of course, like one of them was, you know, territory. Another of them could be stress and anxiety. Change in environment, that sounds like it might be that one, but we can't be 100% sure. A desire to mate. I don't know if she didn't mention if the cat was spayed or neutered and all that. So of course, you know, the solutions are pretty, you know, straightforward. I mean, if the cat, but you have to know why it's doing it. So if the cat's, you know, spraying a ton because it's really wanting to mate, well, you need to get it spayed or neutered. There's not really many other solutions. Yes. If it's the stress, anxiety, and the the change of environment that's triggered this behavior, then I suggested, well, I mean, you could in the short term talk to the vet and grab some, you know, gabapentin that might calm the thing down, but that's not, I don't think, a long-term solution to drug your cat. But the other thing is, of course, the feel-away. So there's the feel-away plugins or the spray, depending on what they can observe, that could cut down on that behavior again, but that would be only if that's the source of it. And so I suggested that. And then, of course, I suggested, well, you know, if or, you know, before it gets out of hand or if it's gotten out of hand, you can always speak to a certified cat behaviorist like, you know, Dr. Rachel Geller or the Cat Behavior Alliance or all those. So I said that could always be done. But I would try and obviously rule out those other things first. But also I suggested, you know, if there is a physical reason the cat is doing that, if it's ill or in pain or something, you might want to rule that out, too. And you know, they don't speak English, so it's going to be hard. But I said, you know, you need to try to investigate why it's doing it first. Then there's the territorial thing. That's probably where I would really say, yeah, you really need that consultation with Dr. Rachel, because then you have a multi-cat household and you could write a book on that. So I can't like post in a social media comment or even if in direct messages back and forth, you know, what to do to solve that. That, you know, would require individualized attention to the cat, which is beyond the scope of what I do, but it is what you do. So I suggested that, I think I even tagged you in so she could click on your profiles and follow you and then make a decision there. So that's kind of where I went with it. What do you think?
Well, I think your idea of kind of like that detective work at the beginning is a good one, because there are so many factors that go into this, and she didn't really give you a lot of information to go on. So, I mean, you did a good thing by then asking a lot of questions.
Yeah, I mean, by the way, they always do that. They always ask something that's you know, interesting but vague enough. So I'd be like, there actually could be dozens and or hundreds of reasons for this behavior. So I've gotten used to that.
Yeah, that's probably just one of those trials and tribulations of social media, because everything's small and short. But I think too, a lot of people confuse spraying and marking with inappropriate urination. So it's important too to rule out, is this a litter box issue? I mean, is the cat just peeing outside of the box? or is the cat actually spraying and marking? So if you know that your cat is spraying and marking, if it's consistently on a vertical surface, maybe somewhere between 4 to 6 inches up off the floor, that's a cat who is spraying and marking. He's backing up to some vertical furniture or wall or chair, radiator, whatever, some vertical surface in your home, and that's spraying and marking. If the cat is just going other places rather than litter box, then we may have a litter box issue. And both of those problems can be definitely be caused by, you know, a new cat in the home, all of the things you already mentioned, fear, anxiety, stress, territory, etc. But the solutions are a little bit different. For a litter box problem, we're going to make sure that the cat isn't afraid to use the box, the cat's not feeling vulnerable, the box is in a safe location, it's wide open, there's no cover on the box. For marking, we may want to encourage the cat to mark in a different way than urine. So cats also mark with their paw pads, cats mark with their scent deposits. So you could do things like put one of those adhesive, they make these adhesive things that you can stick to the wall, the cats can rub their chin against.
Yeah, I've heard of those, yeah.
Yeah. So that's another way that a cat can mark that doesn't involve urine. You can take a sock and rub the cat around his mouth and his glands, and then use that same sock on the wall, like 4 to 6 inches above where he's marking, sort of trick the cat into thinking he's already scented that area. You can put some food in the area where he's marking, if that's what he's doing, because cats won't eat where they pee and where they spray. So there's all kinds of things you can do for a cat who's spraying. Spaying and neutering is definitely number one, so I'm glad you mentioned that. But, you know, if the cat is spayed and already is neutered, there's definitely other things we can do. So the approaches are a little bit different. And I find that a lot of people do confuse spraying and just improper litter box use. So that's like a thing to tease out first.
Yeah. And what I'll do is once I upload this episode, I'll probably share maybe the YouTube link, because otherwise I have to find out which platform is she on, Apple, Google, Spotify. So rather than worry about that, I'll just probably share the YouTube link so she can go listen to this and get your detailed answer rather than trying to co-opt or, you know, or remember everything you said. Because yeah. I think it's really important, actually, and I did not think of this, is the is it spraying or is it inappropriate urination? That's a distinction that's really, really important, because so actually important. That could be a health thing. Because if it's inappropriate urination, I mean, does it have, you know, urinary tract problems, or is there a urinary tract infection or crystals? Or, I mean, there's so many things that could go wrong with these things.
And even stress. I mean, a cat can get a UTI merely from stress. They're very unique in that way. So if this is a new cat in the household and maybe the introduction process was a little rushed, or she didn't take enough time integrating the cat in incrementally, there's that word again, gradually, that you pointed out always pertains to cats, that the cat may have gotten stressed, and then the cat goes to the litter box and it hurts when he pees. So now he's not going to go to that box again because he associates the pain with the litter box. So I mean, like, you know, we could do a whole series of, you know, catching up on just kind of like that litter box / spraying / inappropriate urination.
Yeah, so I think it'll be very important for her to listen to the episode so she can at least, you know, diagnose that, and maybe, you know, maybe the cat needs to go to the vet. You know, that could be an issue as well. We may be confusing, you know, spraying with urine, so which sounds funny, but it's not funny for the cat, because it's probably not in a happy frame of mind. So it's really
want to use their litter boxes. They are clean and fastidious creatures. So a cat who's not using the box is a cat who's either in pain, unhappy, afraid, or very stressed. So you made a very good point that the cat, you know, to us it's just a plastic box with some soft sandy stuff in there, but for a cat it's a huge big deal. We really
it's got to be that, because I even watched a funny but obviously offensive movie. It would never get made today because it's the most politically incorrect film ever, but Scary Movie. So I watched Scary Movie 2, and there's a cat in there. And I love the cat. And the cat is like, it's obviously enchanted in some way. It's a phantasm or some kind of ghost or whatever is possessing the cat. So he gets aggressive with one of the main characters. And of course, you know, cats can't do this, but picks up a chair and smashes it on her head. But also, as soon as the woman says, "Oh, and I know why you're mad, because I pooped in your litter box," like the human pooped, and the cat's eyes, it's obviously a puppet or something, the cat's eyes go like this, and then it gets like super aggressive and tries, and actually instead of just trying to scratch, and it grabs a bottle, smashes it, and goes to try and kill her because it ruined its litter. So it was like really, like, you know,
yes.
super possessive of its litter box. Now I know that with Emily and Charlotte, that if the litter box, if I leave it a little too long before changing the litter, they get testy. Like Emily gets a little bit more testy, a little bit more hissy with Charlotte and with each other. It's just like they just get more like on edge.
Yes.
Because, and it's all around that damn litter box. So it's super important. And I have a couple comments from some people that are watching this. So we love you for watching this live. That's awesome. And we love you also if you're listening to this recording on Apple, Google, Spotify, you know, Stickyard or whatever else thing is, but or YouTube. And so there it is. But one of them is called Facebook user. So I apologize because that I have in front of me is not revealing who you are. Probably there was something you needed to click. I don't actually know because I'm not a tech guy. I'm a cat guy. I'm a cat expert, not a tech expert. But it says pretty litter is good, but expensive for a multi-cat home. Now, I'm not sure what he's referring to. I have Scoop Send. Not sure what he's... Oh, I see. So my good friend, Robert Frost, who's a cat lover, but he's probably one of the world's greatest expert, Dr. Robert Frost, in anti-aging, as well as in applied kinesiology. If I'm not mistaken, he wrote the textbook on applied kinesiology. So this is a really big guy. And he has some new research and some new cutting edge things that he's just brought to market. Not to do with cats, so I can't actually, you know, plug it too hard on here, but I'm a huge fan. And so I think you should really check out Dr. Robert Frost's stuff. And it also happens to be the name of my favorite poet, although they're not related. But anyway, so he says, "Are you familiar with this new product? It changes color to show problems like pH or blood with the urine." Now that's interesting because I've never heard of it. All I know is like one time Charlotte had, I just noticed there was some pinkish color in the urine because some of it had gotten on the floor. Otherwise, I probably wouldn't have noticed. And I have linoleum, and it's some of it's white, some it's black checkered. And so that's when I called the vet up, and it was just some crystals from dehydration. So I've learned how to cope with that. But I didn't know that this litter exists. And I'm sure that's what Facebook user is referring to, that it's pretty litter but expensive. I have Scoop and Scent. I have Scoop. What does it say? Wait, I have Scoop several times a day for my disabled cat. Yes, of course, you have to keep it clean. If there's any poop in there, you got to get rid of it. Now, I use whoever you are. Again, thank you for commenting. And I wish I could acknowledge who you are, but I'm sure you're a friend. So it's important to clean it. I have this kind of stuff that's reconstituted wood pulp that dissolves. So I don't need to take the urine out, but that's probably why I do really weekly need to stay on top of it, because the urine stays in there, but it doesn't smell at all, by the way. This is all natural stuff. It smells like wood. It doesn't smell like urine, but it dissolves. The poop I have to scoop out. That's horrible. You don't want to... Why would you leave poop anyway? So, and it says... But he asks a question and he says, "Do you need..." Oh, Jennifer Willis. Okay. Thank you, Jennifer. Thank you for revealing who you were. And I'm really happy also for your comments. "Do you need a litter tray for each cat or do they share?" Now, that's a good question, but it's an interesting one because I know many experts, including Jason Galaxy, say you need one for every cat plus one. And that's what I have. I have three litter boxes for two cats.
Yeah, I recommend
despite that. Yeah, but despite that, they share them all.
But you know
They've
what?
Chosen.
And that's fine, because they don't, even though it seems funny, like, okay, they can each have their own box. What you've done by providing each cat a box plus an extra is you've taken away that competition for resources. And that's so important. When cats feel like they have to compete for resources, it really freaks them out. So yes, I mean, somebody will say to me, well, I have four boxes and two cats, but they all use the same box. Well, they know that they're there. They know they have giving your cat control over her environment. Very important from a cat perspective. So even though it seems like, gee, it's sort of a waste to have that extra box, it is doing something. So
Oh, and that's a good point. Yeah, because and I'm not saying they all use one box, but they all use all three.
Yeah.
So they've not marked each box as like, that's my box, that's my box, that's my box. There's one in my bathroom, and so they go there sometimes. Usually, actually, they're very respectful. They usually don't poop in there. Maybe because they know it's the ensuite where we all sleep. So we all sleep. It's not far because it's in my bedroom. And so they're very polite. But that's my cats. And then there's one in the big bathroom on the middle floor, which they actually don't use that often, even though it's the biggest litter box. And then the triangular one that I have in the small bathroom at the end of the very end of the kitchen, which is where any guests would go if they visit my house, that's the one they seem to gang up on the most. Like, I have to change the other ones once a month. That one I gotta change weekly. For some reason, they love that one. And it's just their peculiar habits, but they've chosen that. I've not forced it on them. They have the liberty to go up there. So Jennifer says, I have one per cat, but they still share. Yeah, mine do as well. Exactly. Yeah. But like, Dr. Rachel said, you're doing the right thing because you're taking away the competition. They don't have to share. They've chosen to share. But if they have to compete over it, then you'll see some potential conflict. And then he says, but I have three cats, four litter trays is a lot. Is the lack of trays the reason they poo on the floor, not in the tray?
And there are many cats who refuse to pee and poop in the same box. So if you don't have enough boxes and you have a cat who has that peculiarity, you know, little idiosyncrasy that he won't pee and poop in the same box, then that cat's going to go outside of the box.
Yeah, and Emily has never pooed outside the box, ever, no matter how dirty it was. Charlotte, on the other hand, will poo in the litter box once, like when it's new, and thereafter she drops them on the lino near the litter box. So at least she doesn't do it in any carpet. She does it near the litter box, and it's easy to clean. I scoop it up with some toilet paper. I use some disinfectant wipes. I wipe it off. Job done. So it's not a big deal. I've never worried about it or reprimanded her, but that's kind of what she does. But yeah, I mean, I would have no idea what to suggest to our mutual friend Rita, who has 19 cats. She'd need 20 litter boxes, her whole house, unless she has like some kind of castle, you know. I mean, where's she going to put 20 litter boxes? So I have no idea what to do in that situation. But I do know one solution, for example, that my friend Maxine, I don't know if Maxine, she's a pastor in Canada, at McClellan, her name, if you want to look her up. She's a great woman. If you're into religion, she's fantastic to follow. But she's also a great friend and a cat and an animal lover. And so she has many, many cats. And what she did is she transformed this like sandbox, basically. So it's a gigantic thing into a huge litter box for all the cats. And that works for her and it works for them. Probably because they can carve out their niche within giant litter box. But that's what she's done. So there are lots of solutions. So I'm not saying that you have to go grab another. I mean, thank you. Best go shopping. I mean, you might need another litter box, but just, you know, think creatively. But that would definitely be the reason why you get the poop on the floor. So
yeah, and it's interesting because the cat is going in the area that you want her to go. She just doesn't want to go into that box because it probably has some smells or other deposits in there that she doesn't want to.
Yeah, and actually she said my cats, she says what you just said, my cats choose to pee in one box and poo in the other box. Yeah, exactly.
It's
you know,
common.
And
it's
yeah, and mine don't do that, but that's a super common thing to do. Another thing Dr. Robert Frost has said, and by the way, if anyone heard my plug, he did kindly you know, drop the link for information about his new venture, his new research. It's researched. I have one, so I don't make many money off of this. This is not a plug because I'm an affiliate or none of that. It's because I have one, I love it, and of course he's a good friend, so I'm supporting him in this thing. But he dropped a link in there if anyone wants to check it out. But he says, back to cats, my dear angel has cataracts and is pretty much blind now. I'll be her eyes for the last years of her life. Now that's really a cute thing. I forgot I can do this. I can actually put on the screen the comment. Yeah. I forgot that. I wish I, you know. Yeah, so he says that, and that's a lovely thing to do, obviously, for your angel. I call my cats angels, but that's not their name. They're just they're angels, you know. So, and yeah, so that's lovely. And then this was the comment we talked about before. Yes. Is that they choose to.
And that's common. So don't feel like, you know, your cat is doing some weird type of behavior. That's pretty common in the cat world.
Yeah. And we have to, and you know, I mean, one thing I would say is that as cat owners, cat lovers, cat worshippers, whatever you want to call us, you know, meow mentors, that's what I like to call us, as meow mentors, we understand that there are things that we do that maybe someone who's not a meow mentor would think, that's ridiculous, I would never do that. For me, it's a non-issue. Like, for example, the fact that Charlotte loves wicker baskets. She loves them. She uses them like she better than scratching posts. She has scratching posts, yeah. But she loves the wicker baskets. Now, somebody else might say, that's ludicrous. Why would you let your cat do that? But it's a non-issue for me. I just let her. She loves it. So I'm like, okay, here you go. It's like a present. It's like a gift for Charlotte because she loves them. So she gets to scratch up all the wicker. I'm not going to be too bothered by it. Same thing with certain furniture issues. Am I too terribly worried? I make a choice personally to buy furniture that's not uber expensive and that I'm going to like commit suicide because Charlotte's put a hole in it. No, I have things that, okay, she's shredded the corner a little bit. I love Charlotte more than I love the couch or the dinner table chair. I didn't buy dirt cheap stuff because I like nice things, but I didn't buy something that would end my life over, you know? So it's just something that we generally do. Yeah. So I think, you know, Jennifer said we are cat parents. Cat parents is another thing. Like I said, my word is meow mentors. I just think that's cute because of the alliteration, but we're cat parents. And they're not naughty. They're just doing cat stuff. There are solutions and behavioral things that we've, you know, Dr. Rachel's mentioned about, you know, putting the tape or this that can prevent them from doing that. But there are certain things that I just, you know, I let them do it. I let them do it because I love them. And it's like, it's a non-issue. It's just, I'm just not going to worry about it.
Right.
And I think that a lot of us are like that.
Yeah. I think there are a lot of us like that too. And it's like the same way. But, you know, in my world, if teaching somebody how to keep the cat off the counter or not to, you know, is going to result in the person keeping the cat, as opposed to surrendering that cat, you know, no matter what I'm thinking, you know, sometimes people will come to me and they'll say, oh, I have this terrible problem. You know, my cat sits on the table when I'm eating and keeps looking at me. And I'm thinking, okay, so when are you going to tell me what the terrible problem is?
Because my cats do that and I want them to do that.
Right. In my house, cat fur is a condiment right along with mustard. So I don't worry about it. But if somebody does, and this is like, non-negotiable for them, I have to really you know, think about what they're saying and not give advice based on what I would do, but what's going to work for this person to keep their cat in their home.
So, yeah, because otherwise 90% of the advice would end up being just chill, dude, take it easy.
Exactly. Yes,
it's like Charlotte pooping beside the litter box. I'm like, you know, some people would really worry about that, and I'm like, it's actually easy to clean.
Yes, so. I get a lot of people who worry about, you know, the cat pooping on the floor, the cat pooping in the bathtub is a common one. And I feel the same way. You pick it up, you throw it away, end of story, no big deal. But if this is something where, you know, they just can't tolerate it, then I really need to go into
For sure, because we want to keep the cats in the home. That's better for everyone concerned anyway. And then there's... my CH kitty can't scratch or jump. She is awesome. What does that mean?
So CH is short for cerebellar hyperplasia. And this is a condition where the cats are kind of wobbly, is neurological.
Yes.
They can be I mean, I find it very endearing. I love CH cats.
Yeah, but, no, I've seen yeah. Jennifer's yeah. cats. I've seen photos of them, so I'm familiar. Yeah. I just didn't know that CH, what it stood for.
Was that actually, yes, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just love people who adopt cats who have special needs. I just have a special place in my heart. Mm. So thank you for adopting a CH cat. You can imagine, I take all the cats with behavioral issues who nobody else wanted. I have a house full of the misfits, and I wouldn't have it any other way. But then, you know, there's a cat out there for everyone, right? So that's...
Oh, yeah, for sure. And for example, my friend was on a walk today, and he sent me a video of this really cute little black kitty that has three legs. Mm. And I was like, ah, that's endearing. It's like you feel a little bit sorry for the cat, but the cat's not feeling sorry for itself. It's happy. It's cuddly. It's friendly. Yeah. So
I mean,
there you go.
That's when they have to have a leg amputated. You know, there's some issue or, you know, for whatever reason, they don't look at it the same way, you know, we do. They just adapt. I mean, a lot of cats will wake up from surgery and be like, oh, I lost a leg. When's lunch? I mean, they just really don't care about it the same way we do, and they just adapt. But, you know, I have a cat right now who basically was Cujo, and I took her in because nobody wanted her. She was so ornery, and I worked with her a lot, and she's now the sweetest thing. And I'm sure you've seen her many times on my post. She's the big fluffy one.
Yeah. Oh God, the gorgeous, gorgeous cat. But for anyone who doesn't know the reference, Cujo was a movie back in the 90s or even the 80s or something.
Yeah. And I need your friend's anti-aging stuff. So yeah.
Yeah, and it was about this dog actually that was like a murderous dog. So it was a horror movie. So this dog was murdering people. So when she says it was Cujo, it's almost like my mom's former cat from 10, 15 years ago, and Lola was this really murderous creature. I mean, it would literally sit at the top of the stairs and fly at someone, claws ready to assassinate you. Yeah. This is pretty much the only cat I ever did not get along with in my entire life, but it loved my mom. And so I felt, because my mom was single and living alone in a house, I was like, well, it's kind of her guard cat, because this thing is more vicious than any dog and more dangerous than a dog, because a dog can't climb up here and fly at you like a bat. So if ever there was a burglar or some criminal in the house, that cat would shred it to pieces. And so I think it would stalk, you know, like the one time I visited when this thing was in the house, it actually would stalk me. And I actually had to shut the bedroom door to lock the cat out, because it was stalking me to attack. I was like, holy what is this thing? It was like from the movie. It was like from Scary Movie, this really evil creature. But again, it wasn't evil. It loved my mom. It was just super hyper protective of her. And I thought, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, a very high stranger danger radar, and probably something happened in that cat's life to make that happen. And again, I work with people all the time, how to get their cats used to visitors and guests or new boyfriend, new girlfriend. And it can be done, but you know, it sounds like in your case, your mom was fine with the situation and she kind of lived with it, which is...
She kind of liked it, I think, because she felt protected and safe. Yeah. So I don't even know if my mom didn't somehow energetically influence this, you know, situation from happening and saying, this thing is going to protect me, because it really did. And it was great. And so I think that's she was okay with it. And now, of course, she has the friendliest cat in the world. Now that she's in Paris, she's still living on her own, but she has this friendliest cat ever. That's this gorgeous little thing that is just a I don't know, it's a miracle. It's like I've never seen something so friendly. I mean, it's just incredible. And she's visiting tomorrow. So tomorrow I get to see my mom, not the cat, but the cat's getting visitors, you know, the cousin and various friends going to come in every day. But the cat's also very chill. So when my mom went for 2 weeks to the U.S., the cat had to go to a friend's house because she doesn't use shelters or catteries, as we call them in England. So she went to a friend's house who loves cats, who takes care of them very well. And the cat was cool and chill. So it was a bit sad that she said the first few days, but then, you know, then she was pretty chill. Now I think she kind of got it. And then mom's back, and now she's going to be away for 4 days. So hope, but she'll be in her home. So hopefully it'll be okay. But I think it's a really lovely and easygoing animal, which was kind of a stroke of luck. But yeah, yes. We're all our family are pretty good with cats, just kind of naturally. We're not trained and we're not certified like Dr. Rachel,
it's
but
in the genes.
It's kind of in the genes. I think we might be part cat or something, you know. So it's just a blessing. But yeah, so that's what I wanted to talk to you about today is those three issues. A little bit more details about teeth and the important points that people can remember, because actually it can become just a pleasant ritual. I don't think it'll ever be like a reward. Oh, I'll reward you by brushing your teeth. But it'll be it can be a pleasant ritual. Mine is every morning, and it can be kind of fun for because Charlotte can be quite like sneaky, and so it's kind of fun. And then we talked about, of course, this solution for this lady with the spraying. And I want to really remind you that the important distinction here, if your cat's over spraying, is to really try to figure out, is it spraying or is it inappropriate urination? Because that's really, something I didn't think about.
Yeah.
And hopefully, if you're watching or listening to this, my friend from Instagram, hopefully it's been helpful. And if you need more information or help, then you can obviously reach out through Dr. Rachel Geller's website for a consultation, which is, probably a last resort, because it really is an investment. I mean, the cost of this consultation is not exactly the cheapest thing you could do, but it's worth it's really a worthy investment. Because Dr. Rachel, how much are these consultations?
So yes. Oh, you even had me believing that you forgot. Well done, Justin. I was like, wait a minute, no, there's no cost. Yeah.
It's just one of those things I'm always in perpetual awe and worship of, is the fact that you offer these things for free because you're so passionate about cats.
Yes.
That it's just free of charge, by the way. So everything I said was a joke.
But you had me going. So yes to Justin's Instagram follower, I do provide all of my cat behavior completely free of charge. It's my personal mission in life that I never want there to be a financial barrier preventing anybody from keeping their cat in their home. So yes, go to my website, drrachelcatbehavior.com, or ask Justin, he can direct you there as well. Fill out the submission form, let me know what's going on, and we can get started.
Yeah, exactly. If you need that, and if you need, I can always I could always DM it to you. I could always post it, but a link. Yeah. Sometimes posting links gets you in trouble, so I can just send it to you if you request it. If you didn't catch it off of the verbal, but I could actually probably even post it here. So let me make it visible on the screen. So I'm gonna post it really. So it's Dr. Rachel Geller Cat Behavior.
Just Dr. Rachel Cat Behavior.
Oops.
No Geller in that.
See, that's even I messed it up. Dr. Rachel Cat Behavior.
Behavior.com.
Doctor, there we go. So if I throw it in a comment, and then what I do is I do this, and you can see, is that correct?
That's correct.
Yes. Yeah. So there you go. So you can, if you're watching this, you can see.
Yeah.
Dr. Rachel Cat Behavior.com. And if you're not watching this, you can send me a direct message and I will send it to you. No problem at all. But you can also follow Dr. Rachel Geller on most social media. She's present on nearly all of them, whether it's Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Are you on YouTube?
YouTube channel, yes.
Yeah, so you can follow her on all of those things and, get her website there as well, and I'd encourage you to do so because I follow her. So it's a good idea. So drrachelcatbehavior.com is where to go for free consultations. Obviously, don't, take advantage of it, because if you don't have a behavioral issue, don't waste time. There are people who really, it's become a breaking point, and she's the real, certified cat behaviorist, who gives more than just hints and tips. It's actually one-on-one, custom, bespoke, whatever country you're in, consultation for the cat. So, and for you. So that's my advice for the day. So anyway, is there anything you'd care to share or ask before we end off today's interview?
I think today's interview was great. I love the topics. And as always, I'm already looking forward to coming back next month.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to talking to you again. I don't know if it'll be in June, and I don't know if it'll already be the start of summer, but we might talk about things like, so just let it marinate for now, things like heat.
Yeah.
Because, for example, I'll tell you about Emily and how she reacts to the heat. Very different than Charlotte. In fact, I bought an air conditioning unit just for Emily, not for me. I don't need it. So we probably, if it is summer, I think it'll be appropriate to start, or even pre-summer, to talk about
the heat, a great topic.
And what to do, and how cats.
Window safety too. It's the time of
and window safety because of this time of year. So that'll be, you know, kind of where we go with this. And then whatever questions I receive in the interim, like today's, I'll also bring up as well. So thank you, Dr. Rachel.
Thank you.
It's been awesome as always.